Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Radiohead puts on a phenomenal show, but they don't dance in heels.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And you know, sometimes things spiral into tangents. And sometimes they just need to because there's a lot of shit to cover.
Okay, so first of all, I am Heather B. Armstrong. I had to say that. I had to say my name. That's a Destiny's Child song, sorry.
It totally is.
Which we're going to get to in a moment. I had to say my name like 4 or 5 different times every time I went to do a treatment that I'm writing about in the book that is due today. Ha!
My
book
today?
Is due today.
So like within hours. So by the time all of you are listening to this,
my book will have been turned in.
You're going to be well into celebration.
Well,
I mean, you know, you'll still be single parenting and working and all of that, but just, you know, in your mind, celebration.
I mean, I would always joke with them. I'm like, why do you guys keep asking me my name? It's right here on my wrist. Stop asking me. I'm Heather.
But that's just part of, I mean, even outside of like that trial and that treatment, I think that's just part of healthcare now.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was for me. Every time someone would walk into the room at the hospital, it would be asking my name. I mean, and it was like they would ask it and then do something and 5 minutes later come back in and ask me.
I would joke. The guy who would check me in, he would put the bracelet on my arm. I saved all the bracelets. And then when I would go into the room, he would say, okay, can you verify your name? And I'm like, dude, you just put it on my wrist. Come on. It's me.
Did you say you saved them all?
I saved all of them. I saved all of the bracelets that they gave me.
Did you get one of the cool fall risk ones that I got?
No.
Damn.
No, they were all like, they were printed out on a weird piece of paper or like a slippery thing that, no. Anyway, I'm reading through the 94,000 words that I wrote. And my goal was 90. The contract said 70. The goal was 90. I wrote 94.
And you're going through, I mean, it's due today. Is it ending up right around there after editing?
Oh yeah. I'm,
oh wow.
I'm like, I've got about 2.5 hours more left of editing to do. And then I'm going to send an earnest email to my editor and go, please be nice.
Yeah, that'll do a lot. They'll definitely go easy with that.
I mean, here's the thing. I approached this book exactly as I approached the writing on my website because I was like, there's no way that I can write a book the way traditionally people write a book. And there's been many authors in the past who, you know, stream of consciousness and they don't follow any rules. And my rule was, the way that I have taught myself to write is a manic rambling spiral. That's what it is. And I'm reading through the pages and I'm like, whoa. I mean, I like kind of where I went with it, but there is some definite MRS podcast moments in the writing for sure. Yeah.
Which will probably, I mean, to people who maybe are unfamiliar with your writing, which might be hard for them to get used to, but
yeah,
I mean, it's your style. I feel bad. I think editors have an incredibly difficult job across the board for every type of book. But I think to edit stories that are so deeply personal has to be just a different level of challenging.
Yeah. And I'm going to get really, open and transparent here. So I sold the book directly to my editor.
As in without an agent, for anyone who's not familiar with the publishing process, there's normally an agent.
Wow, this is going to tangent for just a second. Give me a moment. I came back from Paris and I had talked to my agent before. I had talked to my agent in the middle of my treatment and I told her what was going on, and she was incredibly moved and said, I will do everything I can in my power to help you with this. Absolutely. So when I got back from Paris, I sent her what I had, and her reaction to what I had written reminded me that she did not really get me. And that's not saying anything bad about her. She back in 2005, 2006, she wrote up a thing about me and my experience with my website and postpartum depression, and she tried to sell a book. And no one was biting at the time. Blogging was still not exactly there yet. And this editor came along and was like, I love Heather's writing. I want to do two books with her. I work with this publishing house. We'll give her this much money. So she spent several months negotiating a book deal, several months, and finally got to the ending stages of doing that negotiations. And she said, this looks good. Send them over for signing. And that day that she sent that email, that editor left that publishing house and went to Simon & Schuster, and really, really, really rattled my agent. And she said to me, I can't confidently or morally say that you should sign this contract because I think you should go with your editor because he gets you. So I didn't sign the contract and they sued me.
Oh, I didn't know that your agent had actually encouraged that. That piece, I think I had either forgotten or was unaware. That's interesting.
Yeah, my agent got me into a lawsuit because she had sent the email that said, this looks good, send over for signatures. And this publishing house said that I intended to sign them, which meant that which was the equivalent of signing them, and that I was going to be forced to fulfill my obligation to them because I had intended to sign the contract.
Okay. If intending to sign something is the same as signing something, then no one would fucking sign anything.
Right. Well,
I mean,
the problem is though that there was a lawsuit.
Oh, right. Right. That's a minor problem.
Yeah. I had to hire a lawyer in New York. He was $450 an hour, and we lost all of our savings, trying to get out of this situation. She finally, after realizing that I was going to lose my house, she called up everybody and said, let's talk about some sort of mutually agreeable solution to this. And so my first book was with that publishing house, and it was a compilation of essays from different bloggers. This is a roundabout way of saying that when I came back from Paris, she did not like what I had put together at all. She did not like my approach. And her response to me was like, yeah, she doesn't, And I sent that. So I just sort of offhandedly sent them to my editor, and he loved it. Like, he totally got what I was trying to do. And then I remembered, like, he was the one who initially was like, I love Heather's writing. I want to do two books with her. Like, he was the one that understood my approach to getting words down. So that's why I sold it directly to him. I talked to a couple of different other agents who gave me documents to fill out in terms of, like, a proposal for a book. That would have taken me 3 months to accomplish. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't have 3 months. So I did what I did.
And it worked. So is this a two book?
This is just a one book.
For now.
Yeah.
And that one book is almost done. I mean, it's like very close.
Yeah. I just need to go and add a couple lines here and make sure that everything's, you know, correctly spaced and no misspelled words.
Right.
Yeah.
Make sure that it is as manic and rambling as you want it to be.
I mean, I did go back and I was like, oh, I'm kind of hard on my dad. Oh, shit.
You softened it a little bit?
I took a couple of lines out. Yeah.
Well, that was probably the right decision.
Yeah.
If they struck you as a little harsh on rereading, then that was probably smart.
Yeah.
So that'll be done, and then you'll have all this free time sleeping in, hanging out.
Last night, my mother took Lita to dance. I had just gotten back from therapy with Marlo. Both of my children have just manically rambled, spiraled in the last 2 weeks.
As in behaviorally or school or yes?
Behaviorally, mood, you know, just kind of like a dejectedness of life. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big spiral.
Yeah. Lita did tell me, she said, your book has been hard on all of us.
Wow. Interesting.
She knows that I've been working toward this one specific deadline that has just loomed out there in front of us, and she wants it to be over so badly.
Okay, which I get, but you've also been on, from my perspective, I see this a little differently. You've been working and working toward this deadline, and I don't minimize the work that you put into it by any means, but you have enjoyed it. It's what you're doing is truly something that you enjoy. I mean, we've known each other for a while. I've known you to be working on pretty major deadlines, long-term deadlines for things that you were not nearly as passionate about and you were far more stressed out about.
Right.
So I wonder what is making her see this as different.
I think probably because it has loomed out there. Like I'm working on my book. And it hasn't ended. Like she's just thinking like, please let this be over.
Right. And there's no other pieces to it. It's not like you're crossing hurdles. It's like there's one big hurdle. Whereas yeah. Most projects, there's like checkpoints kind of.
Yeah. Last night, my mother saw the state of my office, which I have put the state of my office off for the last 2.5 weeks because I've had to, really hustle. There's probably, I'm going to guess, like 350 books on the floor of my office that people have sent me.
And if I remember correctly, it's not a large office.
No, it's really tiny. Yeah. It's like a 10x8 room.
Yeah, that's a lot of books.
It's a lot of books. And so she came to me and she's like, I can come help you clean your office. I was like, that's one of 100,000 things I put off until after April 18th. And I'll get to it after I properly celebrate. And yeah.
Think of how great that's going to feel.
Well, it's going to feel great until I get the feedback from my editor.
No, but I mean like not even the book being done, but like cleaning the office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like those things will just feel incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The downward spiral, not so much, but
But I got, so we've talked about this. There's an app called Swarm that I use to check in. It's owned by Foursquare.
Right.
And it sent me a reminder today, that, I ran the Boston Marathon 2 years ago today.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Really glad I didn't run it this year.
Yeah. That would not have helped.
If anybody didn't know, when I ran the Boston Marathon, it was about 67 degrees outside. This year, it was, I guess, below freezing temperatures and headwinds and rain, and people were dying.
It looked pretty brutal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you picked a good year to skip it. Maybe next year.
No, not ever again. No.
Not ever again?
Never again. Mm-mm.
I have to say this since you mentioned an app, because my life is still controlled by this watch. I had 12 straight hours of client meetings yesterday in Chicago. So it's the commute back and forth. And honestly, hats off to anyone who commutes, whether you are a co-parent, a single parent, not a parent. I don't know how you do it.
It's right.
I took the train.
Oh, you did.
And then had to take like a lift from there. And even the train, even without traffic, even without any problems, is over an hour one way. And it's just, anyway, so it's a ton of sitting. I still closed all of my rings.
How?
All of them.
How did you do that?
So here's the key. So I woke up stupidly early.
How did you
early.
Cheat?
No, I woke up stupidly early so that I had some time to exercise, because then that would get the move rings and the exercise rings going. The stand ring, though, here's the key to anybody wondering. If you drink a lot of water throughout the day, you constantly have to pee, mm-hmm. and no one can really fault you for peeing. So you walk to the bathroom every hour, and that gets you your stand ring.
Wait, so does it work if you walk before it triggers you to walk?
Yeah, I mean, it's every hour. So if you walk at 12:01 and 1:01 and 2:01, that counts. It will only go, at least in my experience, if you've gone the first 50 minutes of the hour and there's only 10 minutes left, and it says, you know, there's still time, you should stand up and move. It's those wonderful little shame alarms that it gives you, like
goddamn
sitting on your ass for 50 minutes.
Shame alarms. Hate it when it shames me.
Oh yeah.
Heather, you're normally farther along on your rings.
Yep. I know those. But I got that it chimed right toward the end of the day when I was walking back from the bathroom that I got that last standing hour. It was glorious.
Oh, did you
so
get
I
a
recommend
rush,
that to anyone.
A high.
I totally did.
Totally how many consecutive did. Days have you done this?
You know, that's a good question. I'm going to check. I don't think I've missed one. I'm not even going to try and sound
you
like
don't
I don't
think
know.
That you've missed
I know
one.
I haven't missed one since I got it.
Oh,
I've closed them.
God.
So that would be 18.
Wait.
22 days consecutive.
What is your daily move goal?
What is my daily move goal? 400 calories.
Wow. Okay. So what are you doing to burn 400 calories a day?
I run a lot.
Okay.
For one. So any day that I run, which is 4 or 5 days a week, that's any a run. I mean, I run for at least 30 minutes. So that will do the exercise and then the move goal. And then on the other days, I either make it a point of walking a lot and I do yoga. So,
because I told you that when I go on my 4 mile walks, like the most, and I will have been like, I mean, I do a lot of sitting when I write. I drink a lot of water. I get up. I move a little bit during the day. But when I take my walks, that usually just only tracks about like 320, 330 calories. Like that's the max it'll give me. And that's an hour of walking, straight hour.
Right.
Like I wouldn't even meet your move goal if I walked 4 miles a day.
Right. And I probably wouldn't if it was just a flat out walk. I think they say like walking on average, you burn something like 80 calories per mile. I could be making this shit up as I go, but I think that's what they say. So on the days that I run, if I run 4 miles or more, then that's an easy 400 calories. But on the days that I don't, I can't just walk. It has to be a walk and yoga or I don't know, any number of other things, because now I'm obsessed with it. So I have to get it. And now it's gotten to the point where like closing them isn't enough. I have to close them early enough because then that reduces that anxiety. So this has been a really healthy move overall.
No.
Is all I'm really getting at here.
Yeah, I told you.
Although just this morning is the first time it didn't shame me.
It didn't shame
me. It popped up and said, congrats, you're, what did it, it said, you're killing it. Your move and exercise rings are normally not this far along at this time of the day.
It said that?
It did. It was awesome. I was fully prepared to be shamed.
I've never gotten that before. Not
well,
once.
I think it's because over the last, I mean, since I got it, I've been running a little later in the day. But this morning I ran really early. So like it was probably a few hours earlier than normal. It's helping me along, reminding me to breathe, reminding me to stand.
I told you I can trace my depression back to the day I bought that goddamn watch. I mean it's still on my arm.
I sat in a conference room and drank water all day just so I could pee and get my stand ring. I mean, I can, I get it. It's slightly problematic. And totally unrelated. This is completely out of left field. But I think we need to take a minute to talk about Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory?
Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory. I haven't been in forever. And I will admit to being one of those people that the quote unquote disliked Cheesecake Factory because it felt like the cool thing to do. It felt like you needed to dislike it. I fucking love the Cheesecake Factory.
Really?
They don't screw up. Like, you can order anything and it always comes out well prepared. I'm not saying if I had the Cheesecake Factory and like five other options that I would always pick it. But as a thing, like when you end up being there, it's not really a disappointing experience.
Okay, so what do you normally eat when you're there?
I've eaten everything. I've had, I don't even know.
Are they the ones with the blooming onion? Or
That's Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, I don't know.
Which is a totally separate conversation that I'm also happy to have because that blooming onion is amazing. But I mean, I've had soups, salads, sandwiches. I've had pasta dishes from there. I've had like stir fries. And the thing is, like, you could go somewhere else and maybe get a better stir fry or get a better pasta dish or get a better, but the fact that they can do all of that shit in one place is amazing. I also went like 9.5 hours without eating and then ate at a Cheesecake Factory yesterday, which does contribute. But you have to give them some credit. This is not sponsored, by the way. Just general love.
Little known fact. The most elaborate and expensive Cheesecake Factory is here in downtown Salt Lake City.
What? Did you know that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Yep. What is so elaborate about it? Because their design style of the restaurants
I know.
Is like mind-boggling because it's everything. Like in one place.
I got invited to, God, what year was it? 2010, 2011. The Mormon Church, this is tangential. The Mormon Church bought there used to be these two competing malls across the street from each other in downtown Salt Lake City, across the street from Temple Square. And both of them.
Does one of them have a water feature in the inside? Little creek that kind of runs?
Yeah. Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Okay. So they systematically, all of it went out of business after they built a mall not even 4 blocks away for the Olympics. So there were these like abandoned buildings downtown Salt Lake across the street from Temple Square, and the church bought both buildings and paid to have a new mall built right across the street from Temple Square. It's called City Creek. And every major brand is there. Apple Store is there, H&M, there's a West Elm there, Macy's, there's a Nordstrom. And it has a little water feature with fish that basically goes along the entire interior, and it has an opening and closing ceiling in it so that it's a quote unquote outdoor mall, but it has a ceiling that closes in the winter so that you can go and it's not cold.
And is the other mall still there?
Yeah.
Is it like a shady mall? I like those shady malls.
Yeah, so the mall that they built for the Olympics is like all of those stores went to City Creek. I just, they gave me and John without the H, Jex, we got a special tour as it was being built. And they explained that this was going to be the most elaborate and most expensive Cheesecake Factory in the country.
So that was like their... Like a selling point, like a point of pride.
And here's the interesting...
I respect the shit out of that mall now.
Well, because the church owns it, it's not open on Sunday, which is the day that I do my shopping.
So there should be a Chick-fil-A there.
Really. And you cannot get alcohol on the premises.
So you can't order alcohol at Cheesecake Factory?
No.
I will say that is the one shortcoming, is the alcohol list. So that doesn't kill it for me, but...
I haven't been to the Cheesecake Factory in 20 years.
I recommend a revisit just for really? Fun.
I bet Lita and Marla would love it, wouldn't they?
They would totally love it. I mean, cheesecake, obviously, but it's just... I'm going to see if I can find this. I've read food journalism pieces on kind of how it's impossible to hate just because they execute things so well.
Really?
It's just one of those things.
I used to really, 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 and I'm going to admit this, and I used to judge an ex-boyfriend of mine really harshly because whenever he and his guy friends would go out, they'd go to the Cheesecake Factory every single time. And I was like, can't you guys branch out just a little bit? I'm sure. I mean, like
that was their
thing.
That was their like guys' night out?
I guess so, yeah. But it was always the Cheesecake Factory.
Like, okay. I don't have anything against that, but in general, I don't think it should always be the same place anyway. Mm. I mean, variety, you know, spice of life.
I shouldn't have judged him, obviously, because you're saying that it's an amazing place to go.
The Cheesecake Factory is awesome. Just give it a shot.
Okay.
Just give it a shot.
I'm not going to be a snoot. I won't.
I mean, Lita and Marlo are picky eaters, so I don't know for sure, but they have like, do they have
chicken nuggets?
No, yeah, I'm sure. Or chicken tenders, okay, something of that. Fine. Yeah. The menu is like 300 pages. You'll find something. it's the biggest menu you've ever seen.
Those menus really intimidate me. I'm like, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. The choices. I can't handle the choices. Don't make me look at a menu that long.
Yeah. You have to just limit yourself to a certain number of pages.
Mm-hmm. I love that you just brought that out randomly.
Well, as I'm sitting there and realizing how long it's been since I've been there, because in part I avoid it because all of the Cheesecake Factories that I can think of are attached to, or at least on mall property. And I don't typically like malls. And most of the Cheesecake Factories are a reasonable distance from me. So the only time I would ever have to go would be on the weekend, which means I'm at a Cheesecake Factory at a mall on a weekend, which is hell. So I don't go.
Yeah.
But then there I was by a Cheesecake Factory and boom, it just reminded me.
So you were in meetings all day and did they take you to dinner at Cheesecake Factory?
Yes.
Okay.
It was all entirely like proximity based.
So did they pay for dinner?
Oh yeah.
Oh, so we'll see. That helps too.
Yeah. Free food from really anywhere is actually outstanding.
And in somewhat related comment, somewhat related topic. The color of Cheesecake Factory. Cheesecake. You texted me. I hadn't texted you about Beyonce, had I?
You had not. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, we have to talk about Beyonce.
We have to talk about Beyonce. Sorry, but
I'm not even sorry. I tweeted about it. I mean, I'm all.
I was retweeting all over the place because I just. What she did was, holy shit, 36-year-old mother of three pulled that off.
Oh, yeah.
And if no one knows what we're talking about, she headlined Coachella and said she played the second night of Coachella. She headlined the second night. And I think it was towards the middle of the concert, she's standing at the top of this giant elaborate set on stage, and she says, "Thank you, Coachella, for letting me be the first Black woman headliner of Coachella." And then she says, "Ain't that about a bitch?" And makes a face, and it was like, "Holy shit! Oh my god! Everything." Beyonce fans are hardcore fans. Can be, I mean, Star Wars fans are hardcore.
And there's hardcore fans for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor Swift fans are hardcore.
Taylor Swift. Yes, exactly. So, you don't always have to like what other hardcore fans like. But there is no mistaking the talent and the skill and the hard work that goes into what she does. And she doesn't have to do it, but she does.
I mean, she doesn't have to, but I feel like at the same time, she does have to. Like, I feel like that's who she is.
That's who she is. Well, that's exactly.
She doesn't know any other way than to
outdo herself.
And that's just it. So it's like the people, like there's people who, I'm going to use running because that's what I do. People who run and run races and they want to, whatever, compete in a race. But then there's other people who just run and all they want to do is set a new personal record every single time. That's her.
Yes.
Like she's not in her mind, I don't think, up against anybody else except herself.
Not only does she want to beat her personal record, she wants to change the entire game that she is playing.
Yes.
Yes. And if you look at like where she was in Destiny's Child and you look at where she is today, just in terms of the musicality, in terms of the symbolism, in terms of the politics, in terms of the performances, it's just, it's, she has grown so much. And I don't know if you ever saw the you probably didn't because you said you'd never listened to her, but she did a special on HBO a few years ago.
No, I knew of it, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah. And there's this scene where she's practicing and she, you watch her and she just, she works and works and works and works. She doesn't stop working. She is constantly working and staying up late and like, wait a minute, I don't like that one part. Let me change that one part and going back and perfecting that one part. There's something really admirable about her approach that way, approach to, you know, what she wants to give to people. And like watching the reaction on Twitter, I didn't watch it the night. I didn't watch it on a Saturday night, but I read all about it Sunday morning. And just reading people's reactions was exhilarating. Like I got chills reading people's reactions to watching her.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Naturally, like as it was happening, I was reading reactions and they were really positive and I wasn't surprised because it's Beyonce and I kind of just read through them and over them. But then they didn't stop. Like, it felt like they just kept coming in and coming in and coming in and people were, like, continuing to react. So finally I thought, well, I'll watch it and I won't enjoy it. And the only reason I say that is because, not because Beyonce isn't talented.
Cheesecake Factory snob.
What's that?
Cheesecake Factory snob.
But it's she's, from my perspective, which was clearly not entirely correct, I don't typically enjoy that kind of music. And when I say that, it's like the same thing with country. Like, I don't typically enjoy country, but I know there are country musicians out there that are incredibly talented. I just don't like it. And I feel that way about different genres of music, like metal. I don't really like metal, but there's some really talented artists. So I've always viewed her as exceptionally talented. I just assumed I wouldn't really like it. But I found it after it was posted online in two parts, and I watched that shit straight through. I grabbed Lexton and I was like, sit down, let me show you this part because it's awesome. Because it was just, and I played in part of it and then I paused it and like, let me tell you some of the reasons that this is so amazing. Because it just, it's mind blowing that she's at a festival. So it's not her stage. Like
she's at a festival. Not,
right. Yeah. She doesn't have the same control that like a touring musician would have. It's insane number of people on the stage, like just absurd.
A marching band, a drum line, female dancers, male dancers, and an orchestra, like just whoosh.
Yeah. And you watch her and she's, I mean, clearly devoted to what she's doing, but she's having fun. Like she's not so uptight about it that she's unable to have fun. And I get this distinct sense from her that obviously she finds the best of the best to work with her on that stage and behind the scenes, but then has all the trust in the world that everyone is going to do their shit. So it's going to work out. Like she, it's just this incredible group. And I saw, I don't remember exactly what it was, but someone had tweeted for anyone thinking that diversity is too much of a challenge, this is a reminder that Beyonce found 10 black women who can dance and play the violin. And it's like, It was just, I mean, it's the sort of thing you watch jaw dropped because it's just incredible.
And there was also a diversity of bodies on stage.
Yes.
Sizes and shapes.
Yes.
You could see she was really enjoying herself up on stage. You could tell that she was loving it. And she, and then her outfit that she has on starts to come apart. And she manages to stay in the outfit somehow. Like, it was about to come off of her boob. And her boots were falling down. Did you notice this?
I noticed the boots. I didn't notice
Her left boob was about to pop out of her top. And she managed to not only sing with perfection, she managed to dance with perfection while keeping her outfit on.
Well, and changing her outfits.
Uh-huh.
And her fucking nails. She changed her nails. Like,
I didn't even notice that.
And honestly, and this is the only Beyonce tweet I've ever tweeted. Possibly the only one I will ever tweet. The fact that women can dance in heels of that size, like, I'm fine being a distant second place to women. I don't even know how they walk in it, but they're just it. I don't get it. It doesn't even seem possible.
No. For 2 hours. She went on for 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, two like steady solid hours with Jay-Z and with, I mean, it's just like, oh my God.
Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
Which is say my name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just completely, I mean, I don't think that Lexton was quite as impressed as I was. But even he, I think, was able to acknowledge, I mean, he's been to a couple of concerts. Even he was able to acknowledge, like, the setup and the time and the work that goes into that. Like, to have it all go down at that level.
And, like, Questlove sent out a tweet, like, he sort of brought the technical aspect. He's like, it's incomprehensible how she pulled the technicality of it off in terms of the audio, like... He's like, how? First of all, it's a festival.
Oh, I saw
stage.
That tweet. Like, the number of people and everything she did would just, that planning that would be hard without actually having to perform.
Exactly. On a festival stage, right? And just the technical aspect of getting everybody wired correctly. And it was flawless. And people were making the arguments, well, you know, Michael Jackson had better shows or Prince put on better shows. And the rest of us were like, let us enjoy this for a minute. This was so amazing, this moment in time. And she, do you remember the part where she said, I was supposed to play last year?
Oh, yeah.
But I got pregnant. Thank God I got pregnant. Thank the Lord. And she said, so I had time to think about what I wanted to do here. And I'm really, really happy with how it came together. And that just, and how she was so deferential to the audience and thanking everybody who had come out. Like, I love artists who give the audience credit. And she's so humble. She's so happy. It's infectious. And at the same time, it's so infused with an aspect of politics that so need to be discussed right now, that is so prescient right now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I was on a Beyonce high all day Sunday. I kept rewatching it and watching it and watching it.
So good. It was just so good.
Yeah. Lita got tired of me talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Maybe someday, you know.
Maybe it's because, like, you and I, we see a lot of live music, you know? Radiohead puts on a phenomenal show, but they don't dance in heels.
Right. You know? with an entire marching band.
I know.
I mean, yeah, it was stunning. I mean, it was honestly just a stunning performance.
Mm-hmm. And I had sworn that Coachella is you go and you stand and you do a lot of standing and a lot of standing and a lot of standing. And it's
Why'd you close those stand rings, though?
Man.
You see?
When I went in 2012, it was 106 degrees all 3 days.
Oh, 106 hell no.
Yeah. Degrees. Yeah.
Nope.
And then in 2004, it was like 99, 100, 101. And I was like, I'm not ever doing this again. I hate this. Why did I do this? I mean, I love the bands that I see, but my legs are like start to tremble towards the end of the day from just the standing and being around all of those bodies.
Well, and the heat is,
yeah,
I mean, just oppressive. That's ridiculous.
But then I saw, but then this happened and I was like, oh man, those people who got to be there and witness it in the crowd.
Wait, was it that hot though?
This time?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea.
But I mean, was it like, was she fucking doing that in the heat?
Oh yeah.
Good Lord.
It's hot in Palm Springs, in case, or in India where it is.
Yeah, I guess I just hadn't, I mean, I know that, but I hadn't, I don't know. That's it. That makes it even more incredible, honestly.
Yeah.
Wow. So I discovered Beyonce and rediscovered Cheesecake Factory all in like 48 hours. It's a big week.
It is a big week. Like I was telling Lena yesterday morning. Yeah, yesterday morning I was like, can we listen to the news instead of listening to the radio, instead of listening to my playlist? Because there's some news about Sean Hannity that I want to hear.
Yeah, like that little nugget.
Beyonce happened this week. Comey came out with his book this week. We discovered that Sean Hannity is using the same lawyer as Donald Trump. Like, all of this is happening right as I'm trying to finish my pages up. And she's just like, she said, who's Sean Hannity? And I'm like, oh my God, what? I've done a good job of keeping you in the dark.
Yeah, seriously, I hope she can still ask that question in 10 years. No one actually needs to know who he is. But we've reached this point. I just saw another one, and I maybe it's the same person, maybe it's different people, but like Tuesday or Wednesday, and I want to say I've seen almost one a week where someone will say, like, it'll be like bullet points, like 10 bullet points about these major things that have occurred. And then it finishes, and it's only Wednesday. And it's not like this has happened once. Like, it happens frequently, and we get to like halfway through the week, and a year's worth of crazy shit has happened. And it was just in 3 days.
Yeah. A guy that I follow, he said, here's a challenge for you. Name the biggest scandal that happened with Donald Trump 6 months ago. Name the biggest scandal that happened 6 weeks ago. Name the biggest scandal that happened 6 days ago.
Right.
Now name the biggest scandal that happened 6 hours ago. You can't do any of it.
Right. Because you can't keep up.
Yeah. And it's just all normal now. So it's just normalized. Completely normal.
I know. I mean, I feel like that's true. But I also feel like instead of it being normalized in the sense that, oh, it's normal and it's okay, it's become more of a, this is normal and we're really pissed off about it. Mm-hmm. Like no one has really, people have accepted that it is normal, but they've not accepted that it is okay, that this new normal is okay. Which is big. And I think it's an important distinction.
Yeah. Someone tweeted that apparently the NRA held rallies last weekend. And he said, you didn't hear about it because the NRA really only appeals to 3% of the population.
That was like the weekend that Beyonce played?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's
because Beyonce was happening.
It's because of Beyonce. See, no one, if given the choice, I mean, come on. NRA rally or Beyonce? I don't know. I mean, I just welcomed Beyonce into my life, but I probably still would have picked her over an NRA rally 6 months ago.
Did you watch Lemonade?
I have not. Do I need to?
Yeah.
I probably need to. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a work of art.
That's HBO, right?
I think it is. It is an absolute work of art. Yes.
That's what I've heard. But again, I just decided I probably wouldn't like it because I don't like Beyonce. I was so wrong.
So wrong.
Yeah. And who didn't like Destiny's Child? Shit. Everybody liked Destiny's Child.
They didn't play Bootalicious, though. I was a little... Maybe they'll play it this weekend. You know she has to do it all over again, right?
No.
Yeah, there's two really? Weekends at Coachella.
Oh, God, that's really long.
So I'm wondering if she's going to change up the show for the second time. For the second. See, here's the thing, though, is that in my experience with Coachella, the first time I ever went was the second year it was held back in 2001. It was really tiny. It was much smaller than it is now, and it was only one day. And then it got so big that they started doing two weekends. So it was one weekend and then the next weekend directly. So every artist has to stay for both weekends. And getting tickets to the first weekend is like, you really have to win the lottery. You have to like know somebody to get the first weekend tickets. I always went on the second weekend. And I would read about the first weekend, and most of the artists do something really special, or they'll bring somebody special on stage for the first weekend. And then it's like, oh, we have to do it again on the second weekend. Sorry, guys. Here's our performance.
which knowing that, and that's kind of what I wondered, I wouldn't be surprised if she did the same kick-ass performance because it was incredible. Mm-hmm. But I also wouldn't be the least bit surprised if it was totally different.
Right.
Because, I mean, you mentioned before, like she's trying to change, she's trying to change the game. And she's not doing that by talking about changing the game. She's doing it by playing it differently. Mm-hmm. And that would make perfect sense. So you've got all these artists who are just doing the same show, or maybe doing kind of a half-assed version, and she just kills it with something different.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what happens. Roxane Gay said that she's going to have completely different outfits for the second weekend. And Roxane Gay would know.
I mean, she has to change. She doesn't have to. But because of who she is, I feel like she can't have the exact same thing. Mm-mm. Like she just won't. Like that, I feel like in her mind, it's not an option.
Right. And that we have, I don't know, it's sort of fun to be alive to witness an artist like this, you know?
Yeah.
Like my kids won't ever know what the audiences, what the fandom was like for Michael Jackson. One of the people who was like, Michael Jackson gave better shows. They put up a link to a YouTube video of his entrance to a concert in Bucharest. Yeah. And he basically shoots up from underneath the stage and lands as all this smoke comes up and fire rains down on the stage. And the fans, do you remember Michael Jackson fans?
I don't. I was never
you don't.
A Michael Jackson fan. I don't have a lot of memory of it.
I mean, I guess it's probably like the Beatles fans where they're basically fainting and losing consciousness and screaming so loud that they lose their voices and falling over, and you know, like it's pandemonium in that audience in Bucharest. Lita will never, that generation's never going to know that sort of fandom, I think. I can't believe you don't remember that.
Well, I think, I mean, I'm a little younger, but I didn't listen to his music. That's what it comes back to there too. I knew it, but I didn't really listen to it. I know this is terrible. I also didn't really listen to Prince. I just didn't. But again, I respected them for what they did. I just never listened to it. But I think it's irrelevant to say that Michael Jackson put on a better show. And yeah. I think if Michael Jackson were here, he would say it's irrelevant. Like it's not an apples to apples comparison, I think, in this case.
No, exactly.
And I'm just, you know, you hear all these people trying to minimize it. Like, well, she actually was able to do this, so that's not quite as impressive. Or someone said it's because no other artist has the money that she has. And if you have the money, you can do it. Okay. So hang on. For one, it's not just money. Like you can't just do that with money. But for another, over the weekend, I guess it must have been like Friday, have you watched any of David Letterman's My Next Guest Needs No Introduction?
I have not watched that, no.
So he's done, I think he's done four. He releases like a new one every 2 weeks. He did Barack Obama, George Clooney, Malala, and then Jay-Z. Jay-Z was the most recent one. And I watched that one, and it's, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's awesome. I was never a big fan of Letterman, his show. And I might have just been because I was too young when he was really big, but the interviews are really great. I mean, they're on a very, like a very down to earth human level. And I bring this up because his interview with Jay-Z was incredible. If you want to just talk about money and you look them both up, he's worth like three times what she is worth. And he's a music artist, but he hasn't put on a show like that. I mean, so I just, there's all these like little arguments out there, like why it wasn't amazing. And it's like bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like that, nothing can make it less relevant than it is.
You should see that the scene again. There's the scene in that her original HBO special where you can see her dedication to making things as spectacular as they possibly can be. There's really something special about witnessing that in a human being, that her dedication to bringing it every time. She doesn't ever not bring it.
And maybe that's, I mean, the real argument that anybody who essentially works round the clock for years and years and years and years and years and years and years can do it. But not everyone can work round the clock for years and years and years and years and years. Like there's just a crossover point that separates people like that. Mm-hmm. It's that drive that, I mean, it's really easy to say, well, I could do that. Well, yeah, theoretically you could, but you can't. Like that's why there's only one of her. Like if everybody could just do that, everyone would be Beyonce and they're not. I would be Beyonce, but I don't have that in me. I got Cheesecake Factory to visit. I got shit to do.
Oh, maybe you should rediscover Spaghetti Factory.
Is that a thing?
Is there not? Oh, God, don't tell me they're just a Utah thing.
Is Spaghetti Factory a thing?
Oh, maybe it's just a Utah thing.
Oh, man.
Spaghetti Warehouse?
Spaghetti Warehouse? No. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's got warehouse in the name. It's got to be great.
Yeah, warehouse is spaghetti. Yes. Spaghetti Factory. Yeah, it's a thing. It's a Utah thing for sure. At least here. The last time I went, there were hundreds of kids going to prom.
Okay.
Spaghetti Factory.
Wait, I mean, have you been there more recently than Cheesecake Factory?
Yes. Yeah, I went like a couple months ago.
Is it good?
No.
Like, not at all?
It's
like
fine.
Good in a generic spaghetti way.
If I'm going to spend money, I'm not going to go. I mean, the kids would eat there. That's the thing. Where can I go to take the kids to eat something? Okay, we'll go there. Like, if we want to go to a sit-down restaurant, there's, like, Chili's, Cheesecake Factory, which I'm now going to add to the list. So
you have to add it to the list. I mean, this is what I realized with Lexton, and he's not even really picky, but it doesn't matter where I go. He will order chicken tenders or a cheeseburger, whether I go to like an Asian fusion restaurant or like, it doesn't matter. Like there was at one point where we kept going to the same handful of restaurants and he made a comment that was like, I'm bored of these places. And I said to him, I said, you're going to order the same thing everywhere. So you don't have a say because I get to order different things. And if you're going to try something new, then we'll go somewhere new. And it's got to be the same with them.
I don't even attempt going to an Asian restaurant with my children. Are you crazy? You crazy?
But they have, well, see now, like Lita and Lexton are in that point where they're outside of the kids' menu now.
I know.
So the things like the chicken tenders, it's not really an option.
Dry pasta.
Try the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh,
I'm telling
man.
You, that is where it's at. So good.
Oh, God. Maybe I'll just do myself. I'll turn in my book and then I'll go celebrate at the Cheesecake Factory.
That is... That actually sounds kind of sad, but maybe not for that, but maybe for something else.
I can't get a glass of champagne at the Cheesecake Factory here. Can't do it.
No,
I'm
see,
going
so
to
you
place where I
can
get a glass of champagne. So help me God.
See, I don't even really like champagne. I went to a place in Salt Lake that was like a pizza place. Totally a dive pizza place. But you could get like a slice of pizza and I think it was a PBR.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not saying I recommend this place.
Ryan might know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Really? I don't. I mean, I can see it. I mean, the best way to describe it is like a grunge pizza joint. I could also be totally describing it incorrectly. This was 5 years ago.
Was it in downtown Salt Lake City?
It must have been, yeah. I mean, where did I stay? I stayed, I think I was like outside of Salt Lake in Sandy or something. But it was definitely in downtown. Because I remember going there, and there was an Indian place that you recommended.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Yes.
That place was so good. But the pizza place, also don't celebrate there.
Okay.
Find something a little better. Not a PBR. You can't celebrate with a PBR. That would be the most depressing book celebration ever. God. I suppose, though, our listeners could recommend celebratory measures, because you will be done by the time they hear this.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I'll have turned it in. I will have turned it in. Let's just
that
be honest.
That's done. Okay. Heather's going to be done with her book now that you've listened to this. So if you have suggestions on where she can celebrate, or you really need to tell me that Cheesecake Factory is not, in fact, fantastic, you can email us, as always, to stories@manicramblings.com, or you can find us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @ManicRamblings. Because Heather's book is done. No, it's done.
And until next time, I'm just going to think about Ryan, the guy who does our audio, just rolling his eyes going, I have to edit an episode about Beyonce. What the fuck? We talked about Beyonce, Ryan.
And the Cheesecake Factory.
And the Cheesecake Factory.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.